we're going to now look at that passage that I read from John 10 earlier. And my first question to you is, how good were you at recognising the voices earlier? I think B might have been the best, hadn't she? I think she possibly got the most correct. She was very good at recognising the different voices. In my office, when I'm in my office sometimes at work, I might need to ring the prep room. And the prep room is manned by one particular lady. And so when I ring, because I need something or other, asking probably silly questions, if Joe rings, I can always, answers, I can always tell Joe's voice. But sometimes some of the teachers enter the prep room and they'll grab the phone before Joe. But you know, I can instantly tell who it is on the end of the phone, because I can recognise the voices of the people that I work with. Now, these days, when somebody calls you on a mobile phone, which is the ones we tend to use a lot, it tells you, doesn't it, before you answer, who is calling. But if we go back in time, when we used to have those house phones which didn't tell us who was calling, were you very good at, as soon as you answered the phone, before they kind of got more than a syllable or two out, could you recognise who was calling you? There were some people's voices, weren't there, that were really distinct. You could tell them a mile away. And in a way, the passage this morning is talking about God wants us to recognise his voice. In the passage we read from John, Jesus is comparing himself to a shepherd. And the reason he's doing that is 2,000 years ago, shepherds were common. They're not quite as common these days, are they? But they were common in those times. And the people listening would have recognised the role of a good shepherd, that they cared for the sheep, that they made sure the sheep weren't attacked, that they made sure the sheep had got food. There were good shepherds. And Jesus said, I'm like that good shepherd. I want to care for you. I want to make sure that you're on the right track. And so he's comparing himself to a shepherd. In verse 4, it tells us he goes on ahead and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Apparently, shepherds at that time would go on ahead and the sheep would follow. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? I know if I'm at school and I'm walking ahead, I don't really trust the students to just follow along behind me. And sheep, they're a little bit like that as well, aren't they? They're not. But actually, in those times, the sheep knew that they could follow the shepherd because the shepherd was a good shepherd and he'd be leading them into the right places. God wants us to hear his voice through scripture, through prayer, through meeting together. But if I'm honest with you, sometimes it's quite tricky to do that, isn't it? It's quite tricky to discern exactly what God is saying to us. And I guess that's because sometimes distractions get in the way. Can you imagine the sheep about to follow a shepherd and all of a sudden there's something for them to watch over there? I don't know, someone put some juicy grass. We get distracted from following the shepherd. There's a story, I think I've probably shared it before, of a very famous Christian speaker and Christian author. And one day he was sitting at his computer and he'd got a set number of words that he wanted to get done every single day. And so he's there typing away, busy, distracted, even distracted on trying to kind of put together Bible notes, but still. And all of a sudden, the computer goes off. The lights go off. There is a power cut. And this author, Adrian Plass, he realises he can't even make himself a cup of tea. There is no power whatsoever. So he goes, and he goes and sits on his favourite armchair with his Bible. And with the distractions away, he spends some time reading and praying. And as he does so, a lady's name comes into his head. And the kind of name, the kind of picture of it just keeps staying there, kind of an insistent voice. And Adrian hasn't spoke to this lady for many, many, many months. But he decides, you know what, I'll give her a call. I've got my mobile phone, it doesn't need the electricity. So he gives this lady a call on the phone. And when she picks up, she says to him, "It's amazing you've called today of all days." And she goes through the list of all the difficulties her and her husband have faced that day and the few days before. They've lost somebody in the family. The husband's just had a diagnosis that's not good. They've got to make some really difficult decisions. And the lady said, "I'm so glad you've called at this point." And Adrian and this lady spend some time talking on the phone, praying on the phone. And the lady is very glad that Adrian has called her. And as he turns the phone off, the power in the room comes back on, that buzzing sound you can hear when all the lights and the computers buzz back into action. And Adrian Plass turns to God and kind of says to him, "Did you have to turn all of the electricity off just to get my attention?" And sometimes we're a bit like that, aren't we? We can get very busy. We can get very distracted, even on good things, that we don't take the time to go to his word, to go to prayer, to try and find what God wants to say to us, to recognize his voice. Another author has said, God, in his kindness, has provided you and me with a lifetime of whispers found between the covers of the Bible. We may not hear a personal, audible whisper from him for every or any situation, but through his word, every Christ follower has full access to what he wants us to know about himself, about his character, about his life and the life he's calling us to. And yet, too often, we muddle through life circumstances, forgetting the incredible power available to us through God's word. My message to you this morning is a really, really simple one. It's relevant to me, so I hope it's relevant to you too. And that's, may we make a commitment again afresh to draw near to God and to listen to his voice, to take the time not to get quite so busy, but to draw close and near to him. I'd love to sign up to a course, How to Hear the Voice of God, or 100% How to Know God's Direction in Your Life. Wouldn't it be easy to go and lovely to go and spend an hour or two somewhere and have all of the answers? But you know what? The reason that B was probably good at listening to all of those voices on the quiz earlier is she's probably spent a lot of time watching Frozen and The Lion King, hasn't she? And we've seen lots of documentaries with David Attenborough's voice. We know it because of the time we've spent hearing and listening. And I don't think it's any more complicated than that. The way that we discern and hear God speaking to us is by spending more and more time in his word, in prayer, in listening to the voice of God through other people. So that's my challenge, draw near to him. That's the first part. And then the second passage that I alluded to this morning, the mad plan of making 100 chocolate sheep. I mean, who would do that? Crazy. However, I do really love that passage, the 100 sheep. Let me read it to you from Luke 15. This is what it says. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after that lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. I think probably from childhood I've got a mental image of that parable. And I picture one little kind of curious sheep that goes off running to the corner of the field and kind of wonders, I wonder what is over that hill. And then I wonder what is past that tree. And oh, is that a stream? Is that a water? And before you know it, that little sheep has wandered a long, long way from the field where he was meant to live. And eventually, the little sheep can feel that night is starting to fall. And so he probably thinks it's time to return home. But by that point, he has no way of knowing where home is. And I always picture, I think from a book I once read, that the little sheep falls down into the brambles. So lost, cold, stuck, there's no way for that little sheep to find his own way back to the flock. And so he just starts baaing, which I won't try and do. But you can just picture, can't you, a really weak effort of the sheep trying to call to the shepherd that I'm lost, here I am. And at the same time, the shepherd goes to the flock and starts counting, starts doing a register, an inventory, and going through the different sheep in his mind. And all of a sudden, he realises that Larry is missing. Because, you know, it's not just a kind of one sheep. It's not just any sheep. It's a specific sheep that is lost. Because, you see, the shepherd knows each sheep individually. And so he knows that the sheep has gone astray. So he starts searching. And eventually, he finds the lost sheep. I picture him lifting up the sheep and getting scratched hands as he kind of reached down into the brambles. He picks up that sheep that then can quiet him down because now he knows he's safe. And the shepherd takes him back to where he should be. And maybe the reason that I like that story so much is because I think I'm quite good at wandering. I'm quite good at getting distracted. Sometimes in a small way, but there have been times in my life in a larger way where I wander away from the point where I'm meant to be. But we have a good shepherd. And the moment we cry out to God, Lord, I would like to draw close to you. I'm sorry that I've gone my own way. I've done my own thing. Then he draws us back to him because he loves us as individuals. We sometimes sing a song that says, Jesus is seeking the wanderers yet. Do you remember that song? What's the next line? Why do they roam? Love only waits to forgive and forget. Home, weary wanderer, home. Wonderful love dwells in the heart of the Father above. And another author writes this as well about this particular passage. He says, when I see a flock of sheep, I see exactly that. A flock, a rabble of wool, a herd of hoofs. But not so with the shepherd. To him, every sheep is different. Every face is special. Every sheep has a name. The shepherd knows his sheep. He calls them by their individuals' names. And he goes on to say, when we see a crowd, we see exactly that, filling a stadium or flooding a mall, a herd of humans, a flock of faces. That's what we see, but not so with a shepherd. To him, every one of us is different, unique. Every child has a name. And we're asked to listen to God, calling our name, directing us as a good shepherd. When I'm in trouble, I'm called Gemma. Have you got a name that you're called when you're more likely to be in trouble? When I'm not in trouble, to close friends and family, I'm Jem. So Jem, if it's going well, my mum's nodding, and Gemma, if I'm in trouble. And I really miss the way my dad used to say Jem, very special way of kind of conveying my name, but also in that, a lovely sense of that I'm special to him, Jem. Now, don't get any ideas from the next little bit, but my niece, Sienna, she calls me Jem Jem. Now, I don't want anyone to start calling me Jem Jem. The only people allowed to call me Jem Jem is my nieces and my nephew. But I didn't tell them to stop, but they pick it up, don't you? And again, isn't it that nice closeness? And my sister-in-law is trying to persuade Sienna, who's now 10 and she's growing up, but she's trying to persuade her that I should be called Auntie Jem. Or Auntie Gemma, or Auntie Jem Jem. Sienna's having none of it. I am Jem Jem, isn't that lovely? Isn't that a nice close relationship? And the reason I say that is because God calls us by name. He knows us with that unique, special love. When He calls you, He's not calling just a number. He's not calling just kind of another one of the crowd. He's calling to you individually because He loves you and you are special. He calls us by name. And the last passage, you may have guessed about shepherds, which one I would go to, is the beautiful passage of Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a banquet for me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Beautiful words. Do you notice how it starts with saying, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Isn't that special? It's not just a shepherd of crowds. He is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. It's personal. It's individual. It then says, "I shall not want." God knows our true needs. A writer on this says, "If you have the shepherd, you have grace for every sin, direction for every turn, a candle for every corner, and an anchor for every storm. You have everything that you need." And then it goes on to say, "He leads me beside green pastures, by quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness." God knows the things that I need and you need. When I place my life in His care, He will direct me in the right ways. When I trust myself to Him. And then the psalm goes on to say, "Sometimes I walk in the darkest valley." In other words, sometimes days will be tough. It won't always be easy. But the promise is that He's with us every step of the way. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The good shepherd will guide and direct and be with you every step of the way." And then finally, it says that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He will welcome us home. I've written down here, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's an illustration about the love and care of our great God. It's an illustration that as we draw near to God, He will guide us, he will direct us, he will show us that he loves us. And so the challenge this morning, as I said, it's a very simple one. Shall we again commit to draw near to him? For the first time, for the 50th time, whether we're not far away this morning or whether we're very distant, shall we commit to drawing close to him? There's so much to look at in these passages. There's so much there, there's so much richness. But my message this morning is, can we hear the voice of God calling us, guiding us, directing us? It's all made possible when we draw close to him, when we go to his word, when we reach out in prayer, when we listen to the voice of God through other people. God can talk to us and wants to, because he wants that intimate relationship, just like we have with a father, just like we have with that good shepherd.